Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
I'm coming to you from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions. This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship, where we talk about the good, the bad, and the not-so-brilliant things that we do in life and we do with money. We are reclaiming stewardship. God has a lot to say about money and about living this life intentionally for His glory. Much more about that at stewardship.com. Be sure to check it out, America. Again, that's stewardship.com. Phone lines are open, 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. First caller is Amanda, calling in from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. How can I help you?
I was calling. I'm 22. I'll be a college grad just in December. I'll graduate without any student debt, which is amazing.
Wow, congrats.
Yeah, it's definitely a God thing. But I have about $50,000 in my savings, and I don't know what to do with it, whether I should invest it. I've had, like, bankers say to invest in, like, real estate or, you know, in mutual funds or bonds, or I've had my dad say to invest in gold. So just don't know what the best thing is. I feel like the world tells you to do so many different things with your money, and I just want to be really wise with it because it's such a blessing. So I just don't really know what I should do with it.
You are doing the right thing, asking a lot of questions until you've got clarity. Number one, just off the top, don't ever, ever, ever invest in something that you don't understand. Ever.
Yeah.
Just because someone told you to, don't ever do it. No matter if it's a stock, if it's gold, no matter how you paint it, how pretty it is, even gold, that seems simple, a bar of gold,
right.
But it's not simple. It's a very complex thing. And so you're doing the right thing, asking a lot of questions. Can I ask you a question that's not really why you called, but I want you to inspire our listeners.
Yeah.
How in the world did you graduate with no debt and $50,000 in the bank?
It's just really from working hard and being wise with my money and I guess not, you know, living like the typical 22-year-old does. So I've been able to put myself through college and keep saving, and I'll be graduated without any debt. So it's definitely all God.
Amanda, you've just inspired a lot of people. I mean,
I'm glad. I hope so.
You have. The world has been telling all of our college grads that you have to borrow to go to college. The average person graduates with over $30,000 in student loans. That's how they start their adult life. The bottom line is you worked through college. And what else I heard from your response is that you're giving God all the glory. You prayed about it, you asked about it, and then you're giving the glory on the back end. I stinking love it.
Yeah.
Oh. So good. Here's what I would do. I'm going to point you to a couple of verses. Proverbs 21:20 says, "In the house of the wise is choice food and oil." So there's nothing wrong with saving and having money on hand, liquid money accessible. Don't feel like you have to invest all $50,000 of that, okay? Don't put it all away. It's okay to have some liquid and available. And then I want to talk to you a little bit about Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. So it's kind of a longer passage. Your spirit is like the modern version of the story. And so I want our listeners to hear this. Starting in verse 14, it says, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another, 2 bags, and to another, 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also, the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. And after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I've gained 5 more. And his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then The man who had received one bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest." And so I want all of our listeners to hear that we have a mandate to manage God's resources for his glory, and that is to put the money to work. And so you are asking all the right questions. Now, practically speaking, what I teach is the baby steps. Baby steps 1, 2, and 3, you've already done. Baby step 1 is to have $1,000. You got that. Baby step 2 is to get rid of all debt. You're done with all debt. I think you're done with all debt, right?
Right.
Baby step 3 is to have 3 to 6 months of income saved up in a liquid money market account. And so you have that. Your next step is to do exactly what this is in Matthew 25, is to put it to work. 15% of your income needs to go towards long-term investing, not short-term, but long-term. That's a growth stock mutual fund, which is diversified. Okay. It lowers your risk. And a Roth IRA. Those are two great vehicles to use.
I have a Roth IRA already.
Oh, my goodness. You're like an all-star.
Yes. Yeah.
I love it. So
I have that covered.
Good. So that's $5,500. And then whatever gets you to your 15%, you might already be over your 15%. And then you kind of go from there. But don't go over 15%, though. Over 15%, okay. You want to start thinking about your future home and start putting money away for your future home. So
just kind of save it and don't buy the gold or anything like the world says to.
No. The best 85-year-plus averages have been with growth stock mutual funds. Of course, we've got ELPs at stewardship.com, our endorsed local providers. They're people that you can trust. They're people that we've filtered. They're people that put customer service over their commission. Amazing people that we're not really tied to. We just made sure that we filtered them for you. And they have the heart of a teacher. They're not going to try to sell you anything.
Okay.
And you can choose to do what they say or not. They're just going to teach you. They're not going to sell you. They're not going to push you on anything. But the gold has very, very high highs and very low lows. But their effectiveness over the same amount of time as growth stock mutual funds has not been nearly as effective, and it's very high risk. So stick to the growth stock mutual funds as diverse as possible. And of course, there's scriptures for that as well. And let me just change your verbiage real quick. You don't have 50K. God's trusted you with 50K. And I have full faith that you're going to handle it very, very well. And then pick up a book called The Total Money Makeover. It's the number one best-selling book by Dave Ramsey, Total Money Makeover.
Yeah, I just ordered that. It actually just came to my house last night. I just ordered it from Amazon.
Good. And when you read through that, you'll hear Dave's heart. And he's got the heart of a teacher. He's not selling you anything. He is really just trying to point you in the right direction. He doesn't get any kind of like kickbacks because you got a growth stock mutual fund. He really cares about you and all the readers and puts you in the right spot so that you can not only be successful in the short term, but be successful in the long term too, and to pass on an inheritance to your children and your children's children. Congrats again, Amanda.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Our next caller is Danny calling in from Birmingham, Alabama. How can I help you?
I have a house that belonged to my parents. And they have passed away, and it's been sitting vacant for about 5 years now. I've been patiently waiting for my sister to kind of get to an emotional point where she could move forward. So far, we're having an estate sale in a few weeks. But my question is, what do you think would be the best way to get the house on the market, either a regular real estate agent or maybe auction or some other means?
Well, I'm always going to push you towards a real estate broker. As a former real estate broker, I see the difference. I've seen the stats when you do an auction versus for sale by owner, a FSBO, versus a realtor, a licensed real estate broker, the difference. And, the money that you're going to put towards a realtor, you're going to get back in the selling price. It's just proven over and over again that you're going to get that money back. They're going to market it better. They're going to position it better. They're going to give you a lot of tips on how to stage the property. So I'm always going to be for the realtor. Now, it needs to be a recommended realtor. It needs to be a good one, that's, sold before in that area and knows that area well and can appreciate your property. When they're there for the listing appointment, if they don't get excited about your house, then they're probably not the one. Make sure that they actually like really genuinely want to list it and they feel a connection with the home. If they're just selling it as a transaction, you probably want another one. So I would definitely go with the realtor.
Okay. I appreciate your comments, and I enjoy the show. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Danny. Folks, Proverbs 12:24 says, diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in forced labor. And a lot of times, you know, when we look to these kind of situations, the easiest thing would just, hey, we're going to have an estate sale. We're going to sell everything. It's going to be easy. We're going to get it off our hands. There's even emotional baggage that's associated with this property. And it's just easy to be able to just, you know, have one big, huge transaction. But the Bible's clear here in Proverbs 12:24, that diligent hands will rule and laziness ends in forced labor. And, you know, laziness is a hard word for us in society today. It kind of stings a little bit. But the whole point is when we cut corners. And I think if we want to honor this property and honor the last generation, the best thing we can do is to be diligent about it and see how much glory God can get out of this parcel. How much glory can God get out of this property? And then the funds that come from this property, how can we best utilize that money for the kingdom? And so again, that's Proverbs 12:24. The diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in forced labor. This email is from Casey. It says, hey, Chris, thank you for your show. I have a question regarding allocating charitable giving between our church and other charities and nonprofits that I personally like to support. We have a fixed budget amount for giving. Should supporting other charities come only after we tithe a minimum amount to our church, or can we feel free to allocate our charitable giving between our church and other charities as we desire? Other charitable giving is after the first 10%. That first 10%, your first fruits, should be designated towards the local storehouse, towards the local church. It is the bride of Christ. It's God's plan A, and it is the corporate gathering that is the number one tool in evangelism, in discipleship, in community, in care, in missions, you name it. And it's all done through the Bride of Christ. And so your first 10% needs to go there, and it doesn't need to be allocated. It just needs to be, I'm giving this, I am trusting the Lord, I'm giving it to His house. Now here's what Holly and I do, the above and beyond part. So we do our 10% in our budget, first and foremost, the first thing we do, we give, then we save, then we spend. So 10% is set aside for tithing. Then we have another budget account that is above and beyond. Now, some months it's 5%, some months it's 2%, sometimes it's 10%, sometimes it's as much as 20% and extra above and beyond, depending on what's going on in that month. Now, that particular money, we can spend however we want to. Sometimes we are sponsoring a church plant. Sometimes we are financing a missions trip. And sometimes we're giving that extra amount to the church as well. And then once that's out, sometimes, occasionally, probably about once a year, we'll give above and beyond our above and beyond budget. And also, the guy's just telling us, hey, this particular thing I want you to give to. And so that's kind of what we do at our house. But that first 10% needs to go to the local church that is serving you and pouring into you on a weekly basis. And if they're not pouring into you on a weekly basis, either A, you're at the wrong church, or B, you're not attending church enough. So make sure that that first 10% goes to the local storehouse, the local church, the Bride of Christ. We're living life very, very busy. You're busy. I know there are so many demands on us, whether we're leading a church, a company, or a household. That's why it's important to have someone you can trust to help you with things like insurance, investing, real estate, and taxes. The Endorsed Local Provider Program is made up of professionals in your area who are experts in those fields and always put your needs first. Let our ELPs help you take care of the details so you can focus on things that matter. Find your ELP today at stewardship.com. That's stewardship.com and click ELP. You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now let's continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris. I love receiving your emails. Remember, you can email in at chrisonair@stewardship.com. This one comes in from Mark. He says, I listened to your show on radio and KPDQ on my commute, and I can't take notes. How do I find baby steps? Well, Mark, you go to stewardship.com, and then go to Chris Recommends, and then go to Financial Peace University. So if you can remember that, stewardship.com, then go to Chris Recommends, and then go to Financial Peace University. That's where all the baby steps are. All right, our next caller is Sarah calling in from Gulfport, Mississippi. Sarah, how are you?
Good. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing very, very well. How can I help you?
Awesome. Okay, I am a teacher. I've been teaching for about 2 years now. And as you know, the teachers are on the pay scale salary that moves up just a little bit every year.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, I only have my bachelor's degree. Me and my husband are on baby step one. We're making sure that we have our emergency fund before we jump into baby step two, paying off all of our debt. And my question is, do I go back and get my master's now and add to what I've already taken out on my student loan before we start to pay that off? Because if I get a master's, it'll increase my income. Or do I wait until a couple of years so we can pay off all of our debt and then try to go back and get my master's, which will then increase my income?
Yeah. How old are you?
I'm 23.
Okay. And when you get your master's, how much do you jump up in salary?
Well, because of the pay scale, if I were to do it today at only 2 years experience, it would only go up $2,000 to $5,000 per year. But by the time I would get to about 10-15 years experience, it would go from like $7,000 to $10,000 jump up because of the pay scale.
Okay. And how much would your pay jump up with a bachelor's 7 to 10 years from now?
I didn't actually check the numbers on that. If I were to stay with the bachelor's, the pay scale from my bachelor's 7 to 10 years from now mm-hmm. would be the 7 to 10 difference from the master's.
Okay. So if you just did the bachelor's 7 years from now, you'd be making, I'm just going to guess, $2,000 to $5,000 more than you're making now rather than 7 to 10?
Right.
Okay. So we're looking at a $5,000 difference in your pay, even 7 years from now.
Right.
Okay. And how much is your master's going to cost you?
Well, that was actually kind of part two of my question. Mm-hmm. I have what's called an alternate route license, which is like a temporary license for 3 years. And within those 3 years, I have to take two more classes, and those will cost me about $1,900. And
okay.
This coming up is my last year to do those. And then beyond that, it would cost about $3,700 to do the last three or four classes that are after those.
Okay. Well, I was just asking some background questions. I was very, very curious about the scenario, and I was mm-hmm. maybe you were going to give me some kind of like big, huge puzzle to put together, but this one's really, really easy. The
okay.
answer is no. Pay off all your current student loans and just stop spending money that you don't have. And then I would just keep taking classes as you can afford them, you know, save money and then do one $1,900 class at a time or one $3,700 class at a time. And do it as well as you can. That's the reason why I asked your age is because a lot of times, and this is what I thought here, because you said at 23, even if you had a master's, it only increased $2,000 to $5,000, because that's really the scenario. When you're young with a master's, organizations, and I would say the education field probably recognizes that master more than most corporate environments. But 23 mm-hmm. with a master's, corporations really just laugh at it. The master's does no good until you've got experience. I've got several friends that got master's degrees that are jobless because they're looking for master's level, but they're still below. I'm 37 and we graduated together
right.
and they still can't find a job because they don't have enough experience and they're good interviewers.
Right.
So in your field, they recognize the master's a little bit more than normal, but I still
right.
wouldn't. I would make sure you get out of debt first. And then
okay.
because you're not paying all those student loans, well, shoot, paying for that master's is going to be a joke. You'll be like, whatever.
Right.
And you'll be able to do it the right way.
The two classes that I have to take within this coming school year
mm-hmm.
That are going to cost me about $1,900, what would be your best suggestion for that if we cannot pay cash like this August when I register for the classes?
What's your current household income?
Right now, we're at about $47,000 a year.
All right. The average income in Gulfport, Mississippi is right around $26,000 a year. You guys are making $47,000. I know that mm-hmm. you can get your expenses down, and I know you can get your income up a little bit, and you guys can pay for it. I know you can do it.
Okay, cool. All right, thank you.
I was on Fox and Friends, and we're talking about this article that came out on the USA Today, and it was about, it was titled, "How Much Does Your Spouse Make? Many Don't Have a Clue." And this whole article was based on this one statistical fact. A study done by Fidelity Investments found that 72% of couples that were surveyed believed they communicate very well, even exceptionally well. But 4 in 10, 40% of the pairs, these exact same people, didn't even know how much their partner earned, how much their spouse made per year. That is crazy. if there's good communication, how do you not know what your spouse is making? It says here 60% of the couples didn't know or were uncertain about what they'll receive in Social Security payouts once they stop working. They didn't know that either. Now, having a financial roadmap, this is what the article says, having a financial roadmap made many of the survey respondents feel calmer about their future. Wow. Among those with a retirement plan, 42% expected to live a very comfortable life once they stopped working, as compared with only 18% of those without a blueprint who felt the same. And then it goes on to say, from what I've seen in my practice, there seems to be a correlation between being open about finances and staying together. That is a great word of warning for all of us, that we need to be open and honest about our finances. The Bible says, Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, people perish. You as a couple, those of you that are married out there, if you're not having consistent conversations about finances, there's probably some things that you don't know. I would plan a financial date night as soon as possible. This article is exactly why I feel so called to do what I'm doing, to serve you in this way. There's a tremendous need out there. And man, I'm so privileged to be able to serve you in this way. Let me give you some little pointers on how to avoid this kind of scenario where you think you communicate well, but you really don't. Number one is you've got to have that date night. Dream about those financial goals. What do vacations look like? What do future purchases look like? What does retirement look like? What does education for your kids look like? Private school, public school, in-state college, out-of-state college? What does all that look like? Get on the same page. Then you need to think through your income and your household budget. What do I know about this 40% that doesn't know what their partner earns? Well, I know they don't budget because you can't budget unless you start off with an income. So that is a major issue. You're not even budgeting. There's absolutely no plan for all this money that God is blessing your family with. So have a monthly budget meeting. Each person gets to say in the budget. It's not one person giving the other person a budget. You both have to agree on it. And then listen, both parties need to have some kind of fund money to allow them some freedom. If your family, if it's $10 a month, man, make it happen. Maybe it's $50, maybe it's $200, but make sure you have some kind of some money to, I guess it's called blow money or fun money, so that you guys don't have to explain every single purchase. There's an agreement ahead of time that this $50 you can spend however you want to. Okay, what does your savings look like? You both need to have access to all accounts. All accounts, all policies, get it all out in the open. Do this when it's not tense. Remember, proactive. You got to be very proactive with these conversations in a non-accusatory way. Just get it all out in the open. And then, man, any kind of debts, that's past debts also, get that out in the open as well. If you brought in a debt into your marriage, that is not a past debt. That's still a current debt. It just hasn't been dealt with. So let's sit down. Let's get everything out in the open. Man, marriages are built on trust. And when we're keeping stuff from each other, financial or not, you're breaching trust. You're building a big, huge wall of communication. You're hurting the intimacy of that relationship. Be open and honest. Well, folks, that wraps up this edition of Chris Brown's True Stewardship, brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. Now, this is normally the point in radio shows where the show host asks you, the show listener, for your financial support. But we're not going to do that. We're here as a free service. But in order to be able to keep providing this free service, we need you to help by telling your friends and your family to, one, listen to the show, two, check out stewardship.com, and three, would you also consider leaving us a review or rating on iTunes? Thank you so much for helping spread the word. It's been an honor to serve you today. And as always, let's stay connected at Chris Brown On Air on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Today, we have been reminded that God has a lot to say about money. So until next time, let's continue to manage His blessings His way and for His glory. God bless you.